But good evening, happy Father's Day, and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy Father's Day, Phil.
Thank you, sir.
And happy Father's Day to any and all proud papas out there. Happy you joined us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. They'll be open throughout the evening at 316-869-1330. You can also reach me by email at john@knssradio.com or on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show. And, of course, on X. By the way, I appreciate it. I have picked up some X followers. We're getting there. We're getting to 10,000. Yeah, we're not close enough for that.
Oh,
but we're getting there. Okay. Right. We're getting there. But follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Another way to reach out to us, by the way, is through the Odyssey app. You can download the Odyssey app.
Yep.
And you can leave us a voice message up to 30 seconds, and we'll play it on the air. So go to the Odyssey app and go to the App Store. Download the Odyssey app, and then you can go on there, leave us a voice message, and we'll play it for you right here on the air. So don't forget, coming up, by the way, we had a huge crowd at the roundtable for the governor's candidates last Thursday. Massive crowd. If you didn't catch it, you can listen to it on the on KNSS's website and, of course, through the Odyssey app. But it was a great crowd. Thank you for those who attended. Big, I mean, it's 150 people. We packed. Fire marshal told us to, I mean, literally we're turning people away. But that was last Thursday. And then coming up the end of the month on Saturday, the 27th, is the lieutenant governor's debate. So more information can be found on the Sedgwick County GOP website and Facebook pages and the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. So more information there. Coming up here this evening, Central County Commissioner Jim Howell will join us to discuss why he voted against moving forward with constructing a new aviation hangar to house the Kansas Highway Patrol aircraft. Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will walk us through a new study that shows wealthy Kansans already pay more than, quote, you know, their fair share. We all know that nonsense, the whole fair share malarkey. There's a new study out that kind of blows a hole in that theory. We'll continue our 2026 candidate profiles with Republican candidate for House District 101, Casey Slaughter. There are two Republicans in that race. Kevin O'Brien is the first, and Casey Slaughter is the second. That's the House district that is currently represented by Joe Seiwert, who's not running for reelection. And we had Kevin on last week. We'll have his opponent, Casey Slaughter, on later this hour. And Deb Lucia from AFP Kansas will tell us about a unique way that they're encouraging folks to celebrate America's 250th anniversary. She'll tell us about that coming up here in a few minutes. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. That's all coming up. So we got a great evening planned. We'll take a bunch of calls. Almost the entire second half of the show is going to be dedicated to you. So, but again, good evening and happy Father's Day. And, you know, every year on Father's Day, dads across America celebrate the same way they celebrate every major holiday. You know, they wake up, they do the honey-do list. In my case, I didn't have to do honey-do lists. I got my wife took very good care of me, little gifts and fixed breakfast. But, you know, dads wake up and they mow the lawn, they fix something that's broken, they fire up the grill, and then they pretend they're shocked when they get another coffee mug that says world's greatest dad. We all know how this works. And let's be honest, most dads don't need a parade. They don't need a trophy. We don't need a month-long celebration. Most dads would be perfectly happy with a steak, a nap, maybe a good ball game, and somebody just one time hand us the TV remote without negotiating, you know, worthy of the Middle East peace treaty or something. But, you know, folks, Father's Day matters because fathers matter. And all too often the left is waging war on fathers. I mean, frankly, they're trying to redefine what fathers are. I mean, for the most on the left, if you're a woman, you can be a father, because as far as they're concerned, all you have to do is identify. But in fact, I'd argue there's never been a time in modern America where we needed to celebrate, honor, and encourage fatherhood more than we do right now. Conservatives have long understood something that social engineers, bureaucrats, and cultural elites seem to determine to forget. And that is, the family is the foundation of civilization. Not government, not social programs, not bureaucracies, the family. And at the center of that family stands a father. And before somebody sends me an angry email or yells or calls in, yes, mothers are heroes and mothers matter. God bless mothers. In fact, fathers couldn't do what they do without mothers. Most dads would be completely lost without them. God knows in my family, I can't find half the stuff around the house without my wife. In fact, I know many fathers who couldn't find the ketchup in their own refrigerator without the wife providing GPS coordinates. But tonight's about dads. The traditional understanding of fatherhood can be summed up in three words: protector, provider, and presider. Or as I like to call it, the three Ps. A father protects his family. He provides for his family, and he presides over his family by leading, teaching, guiding, and preparing his children for the world. That doesn't mean barking orders from a recliner like some 1950s sitcom character. It means being present, showing up, sacrificing, teaching your children right from wrong, even when it's unpopular. It means being willing to say no when everyone says yes. And let's face it, that's becoming revolutionary in today's America, because fathers teach things that can't be learned from a government program. A father teaches responsibility. A father teaches resilience. He teaches accountability. He teaches faith. He teaches what it means to keep your word. A father teaches that life isn't always fair, but you keep going anyway. And sometimes a father teaches that lessons uniquely father are in a position to teach. For example, every dad has uttered one of the great universal truths. If I have to pull this car over, it's a uniquely dad thing to say. Or here's another one. We'll be there in 5 minutes. Just five more minutes. How many of us have heard that phrase? No one ever knows what happens if dad actually pulls the car over, by the way, because most dads aren't willing to do it. It's like the nuclear deterrent of parenting. The threat alone maintains peace and stability. But before the humor is a serious truth. Study after study shows that children do better when fathers are actively involved in their lives. They're more likely to succeed academically, less likely to get involved in crime, more likely to avoid substance abuse, more likely to develop healthy relationships, more likely to flourish. That's not political, that's reality. And it's why conservatives continue to defend the importance of marriage, family, faith, and fatherhood. Because these aren't outdated institutions, they're proven institutions. For generations, fathers have been passing along the values that built this nation: faith, hard work, personal responsibility, patriotism, service, and character. The understanding that freedom requires virtue. These lessons built America, and they are still building America today. I think one reason Ronald Reagan connected so deeply with Americans was because he understood these timeless truths. Reagan once said, "The greatest leader is not necessarily the ones who do the greatest things. He's the one that gets people to do the greatest things." His greatest achievement is raising children. That's what Reagan once said about fathers. Children who become good men and women. Children who love God, who love families, who love their country. So fathers, you know, help your kids. Pray before bed. Take them to school. Talk about faith. The examples you set every day matter. America needs fathers. America needs strong families. America needs men willing to lead with courage, integrity, humility, and faith. It defines who we are. Because the future of this country isn't ultimately determined in Washington. It's determined around the kitchen table, in living rooms, at church, at Little League games, and in homes where fathers are teaching the next generation what it means to be responsible citizens, faithful believers, and honorable men and women. The men who quietly carry the weight of responsibility without asking for recognition. So may God bless our fathers. May God bless our families. And may God continue to bless the United States. Happy Father's Day. We'll take a quick break, and then Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will walk us through a new study that shows wealthy Kansans already pay more than their fair share, despite what the left wants us to believe. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. 1% of Kansas's population are attorneys, yet they control an entire branch of our government, the Kansas Supreme Court. 22 states already use direct judicial elections for their judicial selection process. Our Supreme Court shouldn't be any different. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the phrase, the rich should pay their fair share, has become a favorite talking point of folks on the left pushing higher taxes and more government spending. But a new study from the Kansas Policy Institute suggests wealthy Kansans are already paying more than their fair share of the state's income tax burden. The report also argues that if Kansans want to attract businesses and jobs and investment, the answer isn't higher taxes, it's lower taxes. Well, gee, that's like common sense. Spending restraint and economic growth. Joining us now to discuss the findings is Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. Dave, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks, John. It's good to be here.
Let's start with the headline. Your study says wealthy Kansans already pay more than their fair share. What data did you look at, and what did you find?
Well, first of all, John, this is not necessarily a new study. It's an update of data that comes out every year that many organizations look at. We're just trying to help people understand that most of the time when they're told the rich aren't paying their fair share, the people saying that really don't know what that means.
Big shock.
They don't know how to describe. Like, so you say, well, what is the fair share? And you kind of, they're stumped. And so this was just an opportunity. We saw some new IRS data came out. So we got the data from the Kansas Department of Revenue just to point out that, once again, the people with the highest incomes are paying the highest share of tax. In fact, they're paying more. The Department of Revenue, their top category is $250,000 and more. In 2024, that group controlled about 34% of the income, and they paid 40% of the income tax. So the question is, what's not fair about that?
Yeah, and you know, progressives often argue that the wealthy aren't paying enough. The government needs to tax them more. But then the question, of course, follows up is, well, how much? I mean, do you take half their income? Do you take 65-75% of their income? How much is much? And of course, if you talk to, you know, the folks in the K-12 system, they would say it's never enough. But you know, how much is, I mean, what is the number? Do they ever have that number for you? How much do they want?
No, they really don't. And you know, I mean, again, to be fair, a lot of people saying that are just being told. They've been told, for example,
right,
that, you know, rich people pay next to no income tax. They have loopholes. Well, they're not loopholes. They're legal options to reduce your income tax available to everyone. But they never talk about the reality, which is, you know, you look at the IRS data, people earning over $1 million, this is from 2022, accounted for 17% of the income. They paid 32% of the income tax. And it's that way until you get on federal data. It's that way until you get below 100,000, well, 100 to 200,000, actually. They're paying a little bit less. They have 25% and pay 19%. And it continues to go down to where like 25 to 50, which isn't a lot of money. They account for 9% of the income, but they only pay 3% of the tax. So that's the way a progressive tax system works. When you have higher rates for higher levels of income, the people at the top of the income tree will always pay the highest effective rate and pay the bulk of the income tax.
Yeah. And, you know, the other one that's interesting is, and people forget that Kansans earning under $25,000 actually have a negative effective income tax rate. They pay zero effectively after the 2024 reforms, correct?
Yeah, I mean, before the 2024 reforms, we looked at 2020 for comparison. People earning between zero and 25,000 of adjusted gross income collectively had a liability of about $22 million. Now, in 2024, it's a negative $11 million. And so a good bit of that is going to be refunds.
Right.
Of, you know, actually paying negative taxes. So it's remember when the 2024 plan was being discussed, the pushback benefits the rich. Well, everybody's in the lower bracket, their effective tax rate declined. There's only one that didn't. And it happens to be the highest.
The wealthy, bracket. Right.
250 and right. over, their effective tax rate is still 4.2%. And they're paying, their share of the tax went up. Before this, they were paying 34% of the total. Now they're paying 40. Because what happens is when you reduce the tax on income, on productivity, basically, you're encouraging people to go earn more. Of course, a lot of this in individuals is small business. There's a greater incentive to go out and earn more money. It's worth more. And so what you see is people at all levels, you see returns, people moving up through brackets into the next bracket. And everybody benefited from this.
I know I've got to let you run, Dave, but one of the other things I wanted to ask you real quick was your report argues that Kansas still remains uncompetitive compared to neighboring mm-hmm. states. How much does our current tax structure contribute to that and population loss, economic growth, and businesses choosing to invest elsewhere? Because I don't think we're ever going to fix this problem until we start really addressing our income tax structure in Kansas.
Well, let me put it this way. People in Kansas and across the country have at least 25 options that are a better tax deal than Kansas offers. That's not competitive at all. Yes, it's not as bad as it was before 2024, but a lot of states are reducing taxes and creating a better value proposition. That's why when you look at the states, you know, our annual Green Book report we've talked about before, the states with lower tax burdens are gaining people from domestic migration. The high burden states are losing people. It's not the only thing, but it's a big part of why people choose to move and why businesses choose, whether it's to leave New York or California. You look at the domestic migration, the people, the ones who are moving to Kansas are mostly moving from high tax states. The ones that are leaving here are going to lower tax states. So, right. Yes, Kansas is a better deal than California, but even Oklahoma, Arkansas, and certainly Florida and Texas and South Dakota are even better than that.
If folks want to read this study, if they want to see the details of it, they can find it at sentinelksmo.org, correct?
That's it.
Dave, I appreciate you as always. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And, of course, happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you, John. Same to you.
Thank you, sir. Coming up, we'll continue our 2026 candidate profiles with Republican candidate for House District 101, Casey Slaughter. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by the Wichita Pachyderm Club. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And Make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on the Facebook and True Social, and follow me on X at John Whitmer to get all the latest episodes and latest updates on the show. Well, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal office as we can. That way you have the opportunity to hear from them firsthand. Each week between now and Election Day, we will try and bring you a candidate or two. If there's someone in particular you'd like to hear from, please let me know and we will invite them on. We've got a number of candidates lined up over the next couple of weeks. We're going to try and bring you a number of them. All that being said, joining us now is Casey Slaughter. He is a lifelong Kansan, a police captain with WPD, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep, Wichita Police Department, a small business owner, a conservative leader with nearly 20 years of law enforcement experience. Casey, thank you for joining us. And, of course, thank you for your service. I've known you. I think you helped secure the Fraternal Order Police endorsement for me when I was in the legislature, so thank you for that.
And known you for many years.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
I won't hold that against you, so hopefully they won't
appreciate
either. But again, thank you for your service, and also congratulations. I saw you get an endorsement from Congressman Derek Schmidt that you rolled out. So
I did. Yes, that's I'm very, very proud of that endorsement.
So
he's a good friend.
First thing I have to ask, and I ask a number of these, first questions. Now, are you still with WPD?
Yes.
You've been shot at. You've probably been, stabbed at. You've probably been, spit at by a bunch of the pink hair crowd. So actually, never mind. You're probably prepared to be in a legislature then. If you've been shot at, stabbed at, and spit upon, then you can go to Topeka. But no, seriously, why? Why would you subject yourself to this nonsense?
This should be easy by comparison.
Yeah, right. Should be, yeah. Yes. But no. You've never been through a political gauntlet, trust me. It's probably similar, actually.
Going through one now. Thanks for the lead-in, by the way. I think you stole my thunder. But, 20 years in public safety service. I come from a public safety family. My dad was a firefighter for 28 years and a chief for 2 years, so 30 years in firefighting. And my brother was an EMS worker. By the way, I want to say happy Father's Day to my dad, Randy. So... I'm a local business owner, as you mentioned, a staffing agency, healthcare staffing agency in Wichita. We serve all of Kansas. I was a state FOP president.
By the way, Phil, remind me to give him a business card so he can buy some ads on KNSS.
I'll be glad to do that.
Here we go.
I was a state FOP president for 3 years, and that goes back about 4 years ago. And that's kind of when I got much more legislatively involved. I always had an interest in it. But once I started actually helping to present bills and draft bills and changing legislation, working with lobbyists, constituents, stakeholders, working on various different law enforcement bills, I started to get really, really, kind of into the process and meeting legislators and actually made some really great friendships, in the legislature. And so that's kind of what led me to this decision. And I have the desire to address, state challenges at this point. I want to represent constituents' interests, obviously. And if I had a platform to give you, it's going to be obviously lowering property taxes. That's the big, zinger that's out there. I definitely want to do that. It's burning us all. Protecting life, improving public safety, support for economic opportunity and growth, and ensuring government remains accountable to the people.
Well, and I know, you've talked to Joe. I know you knew Joe Seiwert for years. I actually talked to Joe a couple weeks ago. Oh. He said he supports you. He said that, he's known you for a long time.
And he did tell me that.
Yeah, that he's a supporter of yours. And, but I know you also told me that you'd never run against Joe because you guys have been a long time friends.
I did. Certainly out of respect for a gentleman who's been in the legislature and served for so long, I would never jump in, in the race against an incumbent, unless he was ready to leave the office. And then, obviously a gentleman's agreement, I would do that. Which is kind of what happened on that Friday before the filing deadline when I learned about this.
Let me get to some of the issues. The House and Senate Republicans have been pushing aggressively for spending cuts. They're facing a $200 million budget shortfall. Let's say you're up there. You're facing this. I've had to face this. How do you fill that budget shortfall? Do you lean on taxes? Do you lean on spending cuts? What's your solution for that?
Well, we've got to reduce spending growth, obviously, and spending in general. We've got to prioritize core services. I'd be a fan of conducting performance audits and look at some inefficiencies that we could potentially eliminate. We've got to be very cautious about using our reserve funds. We want to increase revenue through economic growth, And ultimately, I want to attract new businesses to Kansas to make Kansas a better place to live and work.
So attracting new business, let me follow up on that. What did you think about, you know, because one of the arguments that justified, like the Chiefs deal, Panasonic, those are pretty big investments, but there are a lot of folks that think that, you know, they, you know, incentive. What are your thoughts on incentives and those types of deals?
Yeah, I think you gotta look at those carefully, because those can kind of go both ways. So I think it's something that we need to have conversations with all the stakeholders involved, listen to everybody, and then make, you know, the best informed decision that we can, especially with my my fellow legislators as well. I've got to listen to them in addition to the folks in my district and decide what's best for my district and Kansas.
While both parties and both chambers of the legislature agree that property taxes must come down, the House and Senate have been divided on the mechanics of how to accomplish that. What would be your solution? Do you like the idea of a cap? I mean, what's your thoughts on property taxes?
We're all feeling the burn on property taxes, John. I definitely have felt it as well. The property taxes are a significant concern for homeowners, businesses, agricultural producers. We've got to increase transparency and accountability, obviously. We've got to consider limitations on valuations and spending growth specifically. We've got to modernize the property tax system in general.
We're talking with Casey Slaughter. He's running for House District 101. Medicaid expansion has been something that Laura Kelly has, you know, pushed for. Fortunately, we've been able to push back on her. But, you know, assuming we get a Democrat governor, they'll push for it. If Vicki Schmidt is elected governor, she will push for it. What are your thoughts on Medicaid expansion?
Well, first off, I am not a fan whatsoever of Medicaid expansion. And if I were, let me tell you, I'd hear about it all day from my good friend Dan Hawkins. We all know where he's at this.
Yeah, he would.
So I am definitely not a fan of Medicaid expansion. It harms the truly needy, John. The state spending would explode and we would have massive deficits, I believe. The expansion would cause ER, emergency room usage, to surge. We'd have hospital capacity that would deteriorate. And then the state would be more reliant on federal decision-making about funding. We don't want that. We want to maintain as much control in Kansas as we can.
We have an entire branch of the government controlled by attorneys. There's a judicial selection amendment on the ballot in August. Do you support the amendment?
Yeah, so on the judicial selection, you know, that's going to come up on August 26th. It's to replace, it's to replace the current merit selection system with direct elections for the Kansas Supreme Court. So I support direct elections. It's working in Sedgwick County. It's not the way it's done all through the state.
Right.
But Sedgwick County has direct elections for, our district court judges. It's working here. Why would we change that? Why would we do anything different? Justices would be much more accountable to or much more reflective of what the Kansas values are in their particular areas. That's important to me. More direct public involvement in the judicial selection process. And then just elimination of the overall closed door nomination process, because we don't really know what goes on.
No, it is. There's no transparency. I think that's the biggest argument. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our candidate profile with Casey Slaughter, who's a House District candidate for House District 101. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got another of their Day of Actions coming up. It's actually coming up this Saturday. It's a great way to get involved, to help folks unleash their energy, to give them a focus, to give them a way to get involved and make their voices heard. If you want more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up and get active, get engaged. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We'll continue now our candidate profile with Casey Slaughter. He's running for House District 101. Casey, let's cover a few basic party platform issues. Okay, we'll go over the Second Amendment. I'm fairly certain that you're, you know how to handle a firearm. So,
John,
20 years as a cop, I can imagine you can, you're proficient with a firearm.
This should go without saying. I'm a cop. Obviously, I'm pro-gun. I truly believe the Second Amendment is really the shield, the one that protects all the other amendments, right? So
yep.
if we didn't have that, look out, right? So I think it's a huge deterrent. You know, people will talk about, you know, if the government were to have some kind of takeover, but they don't talk about foreign invaders as much, right? So an occupying military force that came on our shores, good luck to you, because we got 350 million guns in circulation. That's one for every man, woman, and child. So, I mean, best of luck.
Yeah, or in the case of Blake Carpenter, more like 20 or 30, or Jim Howell, or some of these. I mean, I know. Trust me, I know. If I need a gun, I'm going over to Jim Howell's house, or Phil Journey's house. Because we don't have any at the Whitmer household. So.
Some people have enough guns to facilitate a gun case or gun rack.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have one or two, but, you know. Shh.
We won't tell.
They don't need to discuss that too much. How about the right to life? Where are you on life?
Pro-life, period, all the way. You know, not only am I pro-life, though, John, I'm pro-mother, too. So, and what I mean by that, I want to make sure that we invest in pregnancy centers and resource centers to give women more options and resources and information. So hopefully they make the right decision and they choose life.
Multiple Kansas school districts have threatened to sue the state. A couple of Johnson County school districts are actually suing the state, saying that we're not adequately funding K-12 education. What are your thoughts? Are we adequately funding? What are your thoughts on school choice?
Yeah, so students in low income and underperforming districts often face limited options, right? So I'm a fan of vouchers, the ESAs, the education savings accounts. Tax credit scholarships provide access to higher quality schools. Increased parental involvement. I think the parents have, you know, really the ultimate decision for what their child is doing and their future. And there's evidence, John, from states like Florida and Arizona that shows the expanded school choice can lead to higher test scores, greater parental satisfaction, and improved student safety. But ultimately, it comes down to this. I want to focus the funding in the classrooms and in the teachers, not the bloated administration.
Based on the fact that you got a 20-year career in law enforcement, I'm pretty sure I know where you're going to fall on this one. But how about medical or recreational marijuana? Where are you on that one?
Do we have enough time to talk about this all night long? I can give you an earful on
this. How did I know where you would be on this one?
Well, you know, as a cop, I mean, obviously, I'm clearly against it. You're not going to convince me that it's not a gateway drug. I've seen it time and time and time again in the course of my 20 years in law enforcement. It leads to other things like meth and fentanyl and cocaine, all that stuff, right? Not with everybody, but with a lot of people. It causes a lot of damage. There's marijuana-related the deaths in marijuana related to Colorado when they first legalized this rose 62%. That is staggering to me. That's not something we want in Kansas. Marijuana use harms more than just the person using it. We don't talk about that a lot either. The related social cost of marijuana usage, which includes paying for medical care, paying for emergency room visits, addiction treatment for the uninsured, that's probably a taxpayer issue. And then more victims of DUIs. Obviously, there's going to be a DUI increase and workplace accidents. And, John, on that note, we're the air capital, right? How many potheads do you want working on your airplanes?
That's a good point.
I don't want any.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about you know, traditional values? We've lately, you know, Kansas, if for example, if we don't get the judicial selection process fixed, I think it's only a matter of time before we start seeing this court overturn things like our protection for women and girls sports, the changes to, you know, these minors having transgender surgeries.
Right.
What are your thoughts on, you know, I don't call it, the minor care, trans right. care. I call it gender mutilation.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that, you know, traditional family values like boys and girls sports yeah. and the tranny stuff.
Very simple, and I can be very clear about this. You know, transgender or mutilation, as you're calling it, I'm not whatsoever for that, especially with a minor. You know, you get an adult, you can do whatever you want to do. Be a squirrel if you want to.
That's my attitude. You want to call yourself a kumquat, you can.
Right, but, you know. Right. But, you know, there's two points I want to make on this, John. You know, we got to preserve the competitive fairness in sports. If a child is out there, let's say it's a female child and she's playing basketball, do I really want a biological man out there playing with her? The answer is no. And I think you're going to have a riot.
Right?
I do. Yeah. I do. And she's very into sports. And the first time a biological man elbows her in the face and breaks her nose, there's going to be problems, right? Yeah. So
her dad's a cop.
you got to have equity and you got to have fairness. And we got to keep that intact. And then secondly, and probably most importantly, It's perverse and it's wrong, period. You don't have a biological man walking into a women's locker room while they're changing. You don't walk into a female bathroom while they're doing whatever they're needing to be doing, thinking that they have privacy. That is just wrong. And we got to make sure we protect that.
I always ask this question of all candidates because I believe it's essential that we elect solid Republicans. Will you support the Republican nominee if it's not you? Obviously, you know, you hope it's going to be you. But if it's not you, will you support your opponent when you get to the general?
100%, John. I've spoken to my opponent a couple of different times. He's a wonderful man. And if he is the nominee, I'll put his sign in my yard.
Did you support President Trump and Derek Schmidt? Well, I'm assuming you supported Derek Schmidt for governor. He endorsed you.
Yeah, you know I supported Derek Schmidt. He's a good friend of mine. He's a wonderful leader and American. And absolutely, I supported Donald Trump.
Casey, I appreciate you joining us this evening. If folks are interested, if they want more information for your campaign, if they want to volunteer or donate, they can visit. It's Casey Slaughter for Kansas on Facebook, correct? Yep.
That's the Facebook page. We'll have the webpage up pretty soon. And then we'll be getting the flyers and the mailers out. We're raising lots and lots of money. I'm feeling really good. We're talking to a lot of constituents and folks and stakeholders. So everybody's pretty excited about the campaign.
That's District 101. And Casey, we appreciate you joining us, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take a quick break. And then after the top of the hour break, Sedgwick County Commissioner Jim Howell will join us to tell us why he voted against moving forward with constructing a new aviation hangar for Kansas Highway Patrol aircraft. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles, and I'll stop singing to the bumper music. How's that? Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. Sedgwick County Commissioner Jim Howell cast the lone dissenting vote this week as the county commission approved a memorandum of understanding with the state of Kansas to move forward on a new aviation hangar at Chabara Airport for the Kansas Highway Patrol aircraft. Critics argue that the project could increase cost dramatically, expose county taxpayers to long-term financial obligations, and lacks the contractual language guarantees that are needed to protect local taxpayers. Commissioner Howell joins us now to explain why he voted no and what concerns he believes still need to be addressed. Jim, thank you for joining us. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, John. Same to you.
So you were the only commissioner to vote against the memorandum of understanding. What specifically drove your decision and what concerns ultimately convinced you that this wasn't a good deal for Sedgwick County taxpayers?
Well, I'm going to do my very best to keep this as simple as I can. There's really two major issues here. One of the issues, it's increased cost to Sedgwick County taxpayers. If the state really wants us to do this, then they should either cover the cost, or the city of Wichita might want to get involved in this and make this revenue neutral to Sedgwick County government. This is an increase in cost of a minimum of about $1.4 million. It could be easily $3 million or even more. There will be some additional costs as we go forward in terms of maintenance and insurance and operations of this hangar, which will drive the cost up a little bit over time. But even if everything stays as it is right now, the best it gets for us right now is about $1.4 million over 20 years, which is going to be covered by property taxes here in Sedgwick County.
So the current costs, if I looked at the math right, looks like it's about a little less than $60,000 a year, while a proposed lease would increase that cost roughly $650,000 annually. Is that right?
Well, yes. Let me get down to this. So the state of Kansas currently spends $59,000 a year on a current lease out at Cook Airfield. They hangar their aircraft out there right now. And there was a proviso added to the 2025 budget. And in that proviso, the state gave us, committed $650,000 in a proviso. But you know, John, what that is. That's a one-year commitment, if
right,
you will.
Yeah.
There is no commitment. Actually, there's no contract with the state of Kansas for us to do 20 years. In fact, one of the concerns we have is they're not willing to write a lease in a way that actually binds them, where we could litigate against them should they default on their long-term commitment to Sedgwick County. The Highway Patrol says that they're planning on giving us $650,000 a year every year for 20 years and while we pay off this bond for this new hangar. But if they decide to not do that, there's nothing in contract to actually make the county taxpayers whole again. That's the second thing I was told. There was two reasons. Our costs go up. And second of all, we don't have any actual certainty with the state. And they're not willing to sign a long-term commitment that actually we could litigate if we had to.
So theoretically, the state's saying, don't worry about it. We will pay it for 20 years, but there's nothing in writing. Yeah. So if a new governor comes in right. or a new whoever oversees, whatever department oversees Kansas Highway Patrol, so be sure. the whoever's top trooper or whatever right. it is, decides, you know what, we're going to move the planes out of Wichita. Because they get, for whatever reason, they could do it. They're not required to compensate us.
That is true. And one of the things that we were concerned about was, would they actually maybe, you know, leave Wichita and not provide services here? The Kansas Highway Patrol is committed to Sedgwick County, regardless of where we hang our these airplanes. They're committed. We actually have some of the largest crime stats in the state of Kansas. We're the largest populated city in the state of Kansas. We're the second largest populated county in the state of Kansas. They're committed to Sedgwick County no matter what this decision is. The reality is this cost is going to be almost 11 times more money for Kansas, not to mention the additional cost for Sedgwick County taxpayers. So at the end of the day, you know, what you have to ask yourself, what's the reason for doing this? The response times are maybe identical, if not maybe slightly better from Cook Airfield versus what they have, will have at Jabara Airfield. So it's not response times. It's not, whether or not they're going to be here or not. It will cost Sedgwick County taxpayers more as well as the state of Kansas more money for them to make this change. You have to ask it, well, then why are we doing it?
Yeah, I was going to ask, then why are we doing it?
Well, I think the Highway Patrol really wants to have a better place to hang their planes.
And, oh, okay. Yeah, we all want new things and nice things, but...
and so this
we're facing a budget shortfall. The state's facing a budget shortfall. The city's facing... So it's nice to have nice new things, but...
Let's talk about how this happened as well. You know, the State Highway Patrol asked a senator to insert this in a proviso during the conference committee report between the House and the Senate. It didn't even go through a normal appropriations or ways and means process. This was inserted during conference committee. Then the governor vetoed it. By the way, the Highway Patrol says that they were conferring with the governor to do this. Their plan was they wanted the state to actually purchase the hangar. And what the legislature wanted to do instead was to lease a hangar over periods of time. And so the state put that in the proviso, asking for them to find a third party vendor, if you will, to provide this leased hangar space to the state. Well, that's not what the governor wanted. So she vetoed that. Then the legislature came in back in and they overrode the veto. So I asked the legislators, you know, did you know that we actually have space that's about, you know, basically 1/11 of the cost? And I have not found one yet that knew that. They want to be, and here's the overarching problem here. Everyone wants to be kind and accommodating to the Highway Patrol. I do too. I even told them, I said, if this MOU was written more crisply and protected the county and removed our costs, I would support it. But that's not what it did. MOU is not a contract. It's simply a
memorandum of understanding.
A memorandum is just simply an agreement today saying, here's what we think we're going to do. But it's not something you can litigate against. It's not a contract. And I want to be friendly with the Highway Patrol. And the sheriff wants to be friendly, wants to be supportive of the Highway Patrol. We all do. And I want to be supportive of the sheriff. And I want him to be supportive of me. And about, you know, my colleagues, again, let me just say something really good. My colleagues, their heart is right. They voted their heart. They did what they thought that was going to be, if you will, supportive of the legislature and supportive of the sheriff and supportive of the Highway Patrol. And I think they all agreed with me somewhat, even though they didn't vote the same way I did, that there are some issues with this that are not ideal.
If the state came back tomorrow with a stronger contractual guarantees and protect greater financial protections for Sedgwick County taxpayers, would you be open to supporting the project?
If it was crisp and it was revenue neutral to the county, I would. Absolutely.
One other question for you. The current hangar is at Cook Airfield in your district. The new project sure. isn't in your district. Did that play any role in your vote at all?
Well, here's the reality
it's
is
no longer in your district.
It's interesting how the hangar came to be. The state of Kansas, through Kansas State University and WSU, agreed to put a drone school out there, which is why the building has actually been built. And Sedgwick County paved a road to that facility. There was a letter sent out by two of my former, not today, but former colleagues that asked the presidents of those two universities to reconsider that, and they killed the project. The hangars were built for the state of Kansas without a contract. That's why they exist. So we're making lemonade out of lemons. The state's getting a good deal today. The hangar's appropriately sized. It has all the right spaces. It's got office spaces and conference rooms. It's a nice building. It is exactly what they need. In fact, it is a very efficient solution to the state's needs. So the fact is, as a taxpayer of our state, I think it's the right place to go. It is in my district, and I happen to know about it because I've been following this thing for the last 15 or last 10 years.
If there are legislators listening tonight, and I know there are, what would you want them to know or do about this? Or is there anything that can be done?
Well, it's interesting. The governor said, I mean, read what she wrote when she vetoed this. She says, I will direct the Kansas Highway Patrol to identify alternative solutions for the legislature to consider next session. She said that. So even the governor right now is not committed to this project, as far as I can tell. There, I understand from the talking to the Highway Patrol, there were conversations after that veto messaging went out, and they say that they've worked out their differences, but that's not in writing. I would ask the state to do what they can to save taxpayer money, reconsider this. It's not too late. If they want, in fact, I would say the LCC probably ought to meet on this issue and you know, send a warning flag across the bow and say, we don't think this is the right way we should go right now, because there's information that wasn't presented to the legislature when they voted.
So I got a text from one of the legislators. Okay. It's great having legislators who listen to the show. So one of the legislators listening to the show just texted me and pointed out that your wife sits on the committee that oversees the Highway Patrol budget and voted yes for the hangar lease.
And I actually asked her, did she know about the current hangar space, you know, as an alternative solution that's actually in place? And she didn't even know about herself. It was never given. By the way, she sits on the committee, but this didn't go through the committee process. It did not go through Ways and Means. It did not go through the Appropriations Committee. It was inserted
as a proviso,
and they only voted on the budget as a whole, as you know. But nevertheless, she did not know about this. It was not discussed from the floor. When they did the override on the veto, the legislators did not know there was a current hangar in place that was actually much, much less expensive.
Well, it could have been. So maybe when they get back, you know, next year.
Well, another thing, we just to point this out, you know, talking about $26 billion budget, this is this is 0.003 of a percent of the budget.
Yep.
So I'm not sure how much they care about this at this point.
No, and it's a small, but it also goes to show, you know, these are part-time legislators and it's so sure. hard to find a little tiny thing that gets thrown in there. It's also why I've always hated bundling and these little provisos and conference committees where they throw little pet projects in, and this is how things like this get, you know,
and one
in.
More thing, I don't think that Sedgwick County was part of the discussion when this was being kicked around the legislature. They had planned to use a third party vendor to provide lease space for the Highway Patrol, but unfortunately, that space was not available from the third party vendor. So they came to Sedgwick County thinking maybe we could help them solve the problem. We could use our $30,000 lease we have per year and apply that. And then they also have a mechanic that will provide, if you will, services to our King Air aircraft, which would save about $82,000 a year on average. You add those together, it lowers our cost to about $72,000 a year for our additional cost. But again, $72,000 times 20 years, it's about $1.4 million. So at the very least to us, it's about 1.4. It could be much higher.
Well, Jim, we appreciate you bringing it to us. Fascinating. You know, it just goes to show that's why they call the legislative process sausage making. Jim, appreciate it. If folks want to reach out to you, if they want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do
Let's use my campaign website, votejimhowell.com.
Votejimhowell.com. Appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then Deb Lucia from AFP Kansas will tell us about a unique idea that they have put together to help you celebrate America's 250th anniversary. And next Saturday is the next day of action. She'll tell you how you can get involved. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. My wife's going to really enjoy the bumper music tonight. The Kansas Supreme Court selection process is up for your votes coming up here on August 4th. 55 Kansas counties already elect their judges. The Supreme Court shouldn't be any different. Visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Americans for Prosperity Kansas holds localized days of action focused on grassroots activism, voter outreach, legislative advocacy. These events are a great way to mobilize volunteers for phone banking and door knocking and help get folks out to make a difference in your community. It's a great way to make your voice heard. Their next one is coming up this Saturday. My wife and I will be out there. We'll be door knocking, and a lot of folks all across the state will be. And with us now to tell us a little bit about the Day of Action and a really cool opportunity for you to help celebrate the America's 250th is Deb Lucia from AFP Kansas. Deb, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's always a pleasure to be on this show, John. Yes, so we have a day of action, June 27th. And during the day of action, we are going to be door knocking and making phone calls for support yes, vote yes on the Amendment 1 that's on the August primary. And that's really for us, the people, to have a voice and a say in selecting our Supreme Court justices in the state of Kansas. We do not have that choice right now. It's a very select, limited amount of lawyers that pick our Supreme Court justices. And frankly, they haven't been doing a very good job. Our Supreme Court's the most overturned in the nation. We don't get it right whenever it goes to, when higher courts take a look at our decisions. We're just not doing it right the way we are right now. And the people should have a voice, and we have no voice currently.
No, no, they don't. No. And that this court, like you said, is the most overturned court in the country. And whether you, you know, whether you like their decisions or you don't, this, for me, it doesn't even come down to that. It doesn't come down to necessarily their decision making or whether or not you like them personally or you, hey, most people don't even know a Supreme Court justice. For me, it comes down to two things, transparency. And frankly, it comes down to democracy. It is a matter of people should, this is an issue, simply put, of letting people have the right to vote. And what I find so amusing is the forces that are allayed against it, including the American Civil Liberties Union. You would think that people who fight for liberty and the right to vote would be in support of this. It's amazing.
It is. You would absolutely think that. But it seems like the American Civil Liberties Union doesn't represent civil liberties anymore. They've become a very political organization with a very left-leaning background, and that's what they are right now. They're an activist group as opposed to an actual civil liberties group. Yeah, I mean, we, you know, the way that we pick our justices right now, it's really we're the only ones that do it that way, and it's very, very limited. See, if you go through the process, people don't really understand that process, how it works, how, you know, what happens. You know, only people that are only lawyers in the Bar Association can vote. About 2,500 of them have the opportunity to vote for people. They're going to sit on a nominating commission, five lawyers on a nominating commission. So they're not even voting for the justices themselves, just these five people. That's it. On this nominating commission, plus four lay people that are appointed by the governor sit on this commission. When you think about it, I mean, it's just unelected people handling the whole thing. And us, we're supposed to have that right to vote. It's the most basic form of democracy. It's at the core of who we are as Americans, and we don't get that opportunity.
Yep. Yep, you're absolutely right. We're talking with Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity. Speaking of AFP, I also saw that you guys rolled out an endorsement last week for in the governor's race. You endorsed Ty Masterson. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
I was kind of pleased to see that. And I mean, after constant blockades by progressives, by Governor Laura Kelly, I thought it was interesting that AFP chose to endorse. And it's not only Ty, you're now starting to roll out your endorsements in the legislative races, correct?
Yeah, so we've got a few of those have gone out also. In some key areas where we have to maintain or do better than what we have currently in the legislature to get anything done. And so AFP has chosen to make their voice heard in some key races where it's very important that we either keep a seat or we flip a seat. And so we are making some select endorsements in the primary. Not something that we typically do, but we have decided to do that this year.
No, it isn't something that you do. Obviously, you guys have decided that some races are, you know, more important, that it's important that you guys pick a side in some of these primaries. If folks are interested, they can see that on your Facebook page, and they can follow you and see those endorsements. Deb, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, you guys have a really kind of a fun project that you kicked off. It's called the Declaration Project, and it's a way for folks to kind of have some fun with the July 4th coming up, the holiday coming up, and America's 250th anniversary. It's right around the corner. It's a great way that you're encouraging folks to remember exactly what we're celebrating, the start of, you know, the great American experiment when our founders boldly declared independence from Britain and our right to self-governance. You've called it the Declaration Project. Is that right?
Yes. So the Declaration Project is encouraging everybody to read the Declaration of Independence. Do it at the start of your 4th of July party. How many people have ever done that on the 4th of July? How many people have read the full Declaration of Independence? Maybe in high school some point a long time ago you did, or maybe in college. But most people haven't even looked at it. It takes about 7 minutes to read the Declaration of Independence. And so what we have is it's called Take One Small Step. And you could go to our website, and the Declaration of Independence is there for you to take a look at it, or you can listen to it. Both ways are there. It's super easy. And we are encouraging everybody at the start of whatever you're doing for the 4th of July this year that you read the Declaration of Independence. Read it with your family. Read it with your friends. I can't think of anything more American, and it's called, you know, Take One Small Step to Freedom, One Small Step to Make a Difference. And so it's just toward recommitting to your founding principles. And I'm super excited about it. I hope everybody decides to do it.
Yeah, I mean, these words weren't just meant to be read. They were meant to be lived by. And it's kind of fun. You could go, again, it's AmericansForProsperity.org/one-small-step. And when you get there, you can read the declaration. You can listen to the declaration. And, you know, it's we all know what it's in Congress, July 4, 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And it goes on from there. And I mean, this is it talks about dignity and the idea that every person possesses inherent worth. It's an incredible document, and I think all too often, I mean, shoot, in today's schools, especially public schools, this is archaic, and they don't even bother to teach this anymore. And I think it's a great idea. I love the fact that you guys are pushing this, and I do encourage everyone to do this. And I've reached out to our leadership team at the Sedgwick County Republican Party. We're going to do this. We want to encourage everyone to do this. So I think it's a great idea. Again, it's AmericansForProsperity.org/one-small-step. And I want our listeners to do this. So go read the Declaration of Independence. A great way to do it. Deb, again, it's the Day of Action is coming up this Saturday. If folks want to get involved, if they don't want to go door knock, by the way, the weather is supposed to be great. It's going to be a wonderful day, 88 degrees, nice day. So I hope everyone will do that. If they want to sign up, if they want to door knock or make calls, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can just come and give me a call or email me. So I'll give you my phone number, 316-779-3852, or my email, which I'm Deb Lucia, so it's D Lucia, and that's just like Lucia, L-U-C-I-A, at AFPHQ.org.
There you go, folks. We hope to see you this Saturday for the Day of Action. And if you want to take part of the One Small Step Pledge, the Declaration Project, you can find information on that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And we'll be out this weekend as well. Deb, thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you Saturday.
Yep. See you then. Thanks
a lot, Deb.
John.
We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then we're turning the keys over to you. It all, who knows, the whole wheels may roll off on this thing. The show is yours. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. The rest of the show is yours. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS, or by listening to KNSS on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. You know what? I keep getting people encouraging me to add TikTok. Ugh, I don't want to, Phil.
I've resisted.
Me too.
I, I'll be honest. I struggle with Facebook. So let's not add anything to the plate.
I already have enough with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Do I have to add TikTok? Please say no. Mm.
The one thing I will say for TikTok is that you're reaching just another level of.
I know. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Maybe I will. Coming up Saturday, June 27th, the Kansas Republican Party and the Sedgwick County Republican Party are hosting a lieutenant governor's debate. We're working on the details on that. As soon as we have more, we will bring them to you. So, TikTok.
Is there some plans in the workings of maybe doing that live here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That. Working on a TV partner, so I'm still waiting on the state party to give us the details. I mean, they just had their summer convention out in Frontenac, out in western Kansas at the Missouri border. I was out there yesterday.
I used to live in Frontenac. I know exactly where that's at.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was, it was fun. It was a good crowd, big crowd, a lot of people. And so they were busy with that. Now that that's done, I think they can now pivot to this. Okay. Lieutenant. So now that I Denidri, who's the state chair, and I talked briefly out in Frontenac, and so now I think they're through with that. They can pivot to this. So okay. I'm sure this week we'll get the details. So,
folks, stay tuned.
Yes. Did you do anything fun this weekend? Did you do any big Father's Day stuff? Or
well, now that you mention it, I just want to take a quick moment to say Happy Father's Day to my father, Phil.
Yes, Phil and Phil.
Phil and Phil.
Ah, so you're Phil Jr. I did not know you were a junior.
I don't do the junior.
You don't do the junior thing, but you are technically a junior.
Philip with one L. I always joke that my dad was too poor to afford the second L, so I'm just Philip with one L.
Gotcha. So, are you a junior?
I just have never gone by that. Gotcha. And actually, my dad's older sister calls me Little Phil, and she's the only person in this world that's allowed to call me
Little Phil?
Oh, boy.
You never should have told me these things.
Also wanted to say happy Father's Day to my brother, Jeremy. Okay. And one final one, a friend of mine, his name's Tristan, became a father last night.
Congratulations.
Today is a big day for him. So I'm really happy for him. Happy Father's Day to him,
too. Yes, well, happy Father's Day all around to Tristan and your dad and your brother and to little Phil. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, that will never die.
Thank goodness we don't do billboard signs or anything like that.
Oh, you never should have told me that, by the way. Oh, and so something else that happened at the Thursday meeting.
Which was good, by the way.
Thank you. You did great work.
You and Kim did a really good job getting all four candidates involved. I thought it went really, really well.
I did too.
Anyway, continue.
And we announced, we didn't do this on air, but we announced the vote yes yard signs. So we have the vote yes. I'm glad I remembered this. So the Central County Republican Party has vote yes yard signs. So if they're, to encourage folks, you can put a yard sign out. They're very cool. They're a lot of fun. And we've had a ton of interest in these yard signs. And they, originally the party was going to sell them. And they say on the top, they say elect our judges. And then the second line says voters, not lawyers. And then it says vote yes, August 4th. Mm-hmm. So we were going to sell them. The county party was going to sell them for $10. So they cost us about $5-6. We were going to sell them for $10. We had a donor step forward and donated enough money to cover. We've ordered 2,500 of them.
Wow.
And we are now giving them away.
That's amazing.
So yes, thanks to this donor. Now if anybody is interested in a vote yes yard sign, you can email or contact the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Just go to sedgwick.gop. We've placed the order. The order signs will be in by the end of the week, and you can get a vote yes yard sign for free.
That's great. And
not only that, the Turning Points USA kids at Wichita State University will deliver them for free.
Wow.
So
even better.
You want a yard sign? We will bring you a yard sign. Ah, so, yeah, it's going to be great. That's great. We want to blanket the city with vote yes yard signs. So it's thanks to the donor, it's going to be great. We're going to get them all over town.
Good
so,
deal. Yeah, all right. Fantastic. Cool.
So yeah, they're a bunch of signage out in Frontenac over the weekend. So We will take a quick break, and then I know we've got some callers here. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. I just got a message here on Facebook. Someone wanted to ask about that monstrosity that is the Barack Obama Presidential Library. It looks like, I don't know. Frankly, it looks to me like one of those, trash cans that you see at art museums. I mean, I don't know. it's pretty ugly. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. So, folks, literally 21 states, 22 actually, already use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. Our Supreme Court shouldn't be any different. You can visit votersnotlawyers.com and find out more. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, coming up this Saturday is the next day of action for AFP. It's a great way to get out, get involved, get a little exercise. Weather's going to be nice, 88 degrees. Should be a nice, gorgeous day. And if you don't want a door knock, you can make calls. For information on that, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And coming up on the 27th, the Kansas Republican Party Lieutenant Governor's Debate will be right here in Wichita. All the candidates will be together for that event, and you can get information on that at Sedgwick.gop. Eric, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, John. Quick question. You and I have talked before at some of the live events, and you may remember I moved from the People's Republic of Illinois, where we have the fortune of being able to directly elect all of our judges. And so when I saw this issue come up, I was a little, a little confused, because I certainly understand the ability to want to, elect judges directly, and I'm fully in support of it. But the other side puts on a pretty strong and convincing argument. I've seen their TV ads. What is really behind their thing? Do they really believe that, this group of lawyers, has the intelligence that we as the citizens don't have to be able to, pick judges? And then, they make the whole argument, well, this turns judges into politicians. What would you say about that?
No, you ask what's behind it. It's power. The current system favors elitists. It favors a very small select group. I mean, look who's opposing it. The Trial Lawyers Association, the bar, the Kansas Bar. By the way, it's not Kansas Bar Association. It's just the Kansas Bar. The school districts are opposing it because this court always sides with the school districts. And the liberal interest groups, because this court is heavily dominated by liberals instead of this court. The bottom line is this court's not reflective of the state of Kansas. If nothing else, even if you did allow direct elections, you'd probably have a majority of the justices be Republican, but not all of them, because some would be elected and some would be Republican and some would be Democrat, which, by the way, that's Kansas. Some of us are Republicans and some of us are Democrats, and that's the way the court would be. Right now, the court has one Republican and the rest are all liberal Democrats. And the reason they oppose it is because they want to keep it that way. And they don't trust voters. They think voters are stupid. And whenever they say, oh, well, it's a merit system, it's not merit-based, it's power-based. I sat on the Kansas House Judiciary Committee for 4 years, every day, Trust me, it was the most boring. Oh my God. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday for an hour and a half, I sat there and listened to those judicial hearings. And we took this up for a number of years. And it was constantly listening to them define merit and how smart they were and how these, you know, basically they made the argument Kansas voters aren't smart enough to choose. Folks, we're smart enough to pick the president. We're smart enough to pick Congress. We're smart enough to pick district court judges, but all of a sudden we're not smart enough to pick Supreme Court judges? Come on. I trust the voters, but apparently they don't.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, as I said, I'm fully in support of this, and hopefully we can get this across the finish line.
I appreciate the call, Eric. I mean, and that's really what this comes down to. You've heard me say in the intros, there are 55 counties that already elect their judges. 22 states already use direct judicial elections for their Supreme Courts. And it's, again, for me, I know, you know, some people want to make this about a particular issue. This is not issue based for me. This is democracy based for me. This is what's right for me. This is about transparency and about, I mean, attorneys are less than 1% of the population and they control this entire process. And I got friends who are attorneys. Judge Kevin Smith is a friend of mine. He supports this and he's a judge. He's a lawyer. And I mean, look, you have no vote, no choice. That changes August 4th if we do our jobs. And the Amendment 1 is simple. It gives you the right to vote for Kansas Supreme Court judges. It's that simple. It's don't listen to any of the propaganda. Don't listen to their TV ads. Don't buy the malarkey. This current system is not how democracy is supposed to work. Without your vote, without your input, without your any accountability to you, that's the current system. And it's that simple.
I'm with you on that. And also the representation. You've got folks in Colby. You've got folks in Waukini. You've got folks in Hugoton. You've got folks in Western Kansas that have no representation whatsoever.
I mean, there's a Supreme Court open. There's an opening right now on the Supreme Court. There are three people right now who have been selected. All three of them are from Johnson County. Mm-hmm. Nobody from Western Kansas is represented. None of the justices on the court right now are from Western Kansas. No representation. The whole process is cloistered and elitist, and it's time to fix it. If you want more information, go to AmericansForProsperity.org/takebackthebench. VotersNotLawyers.com. There's a lot of places you can go for information. So don't forget, tune in tomorrow for Woodward and Witt. In the meantime, have a great week, folks. Carry on.